Track 6, The Art of Exploring by Liz Porter. Whenever I walk into an art gallery or a museum, or go around a castle or a sculpture trail, I always get the urge to play. If an exhibition has been described, or I've had a chance to touch objects, that's great. Of course, I'm interested in the artistic or historic perspective, but the urge to play is usually bigger. My mind races thinking about how I might engage, either alone or in a group. I start dreaming about the kind of things I might do. What if you could bring statues or objects to life through imagined conversations? What if you could recreate their shapes with your body, even become them for a day? What do they sound like? And so on. What if a creative response is used to back an artistic intention or woven into the fabric of a historic trail as part of an audio description guide? It's rare for this to happen, but when it does, I'm hooked. How does your life story influence how you respond? At the Audio Description Art of Access conference held at Royal Holloway University in October 2016, acclaimed audio describer Louise Fryer said in her keynote speech, "It's not enough to just say what you see. We are all different." An accurate statement that is subject to artistic scrutiny and real consideration when choosing the language of audio description in the art of painting with words across all art forms. But what if we turn the sentence around in the art of exploring from a creative response? I would suggest it's totally acceptable and relevant to say what you see, say what you feel or hear, to engage through touch and smell, to interact with art forms from a purely subjective and open-ended multisensory creative response. We are indeed all different, and that's where it becomes incredibly exciting. Whether we are sighted, blind or partially sighted, deaf, disabled or non-disabled, whatever our gender, age, cultural background, faith or sexual orientation, our life experiences define our identity and present us with infinite opportunities to creatively play and engage with art, exploring each story from our own perspective. I say story because I think each piece of art, object, sculpture or building, has its own story. We enable those stories to be unlocked through our creativity. Our life experience influences this process. Nothing I've said here is new. None of us needs to reinvent the wheel. Over the years, there have been many excellent leading practitioners within our sector developing quality projects and learning resources, such as Every Object Tells a Story, footnote 1, or Every Picture Tells a Story, footnote 2. Books like James Mayhew's Katie and the Impressionists, part of the author's Katie series, in which a little girl jumps inside a Claude Monet painting, allow the reader's imagination to run wild. There are many leading visually impaired practitioners instigating adaptive descriptive techniques. For example, Rebecca McGuinness, whose work developing verbal imaging tours with the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York opened up a whole plethora of wonderful initiatives after her presentation at the In Touch with Art conference. And Marcus Weisen, a respected, passionate advocate who has contributed so much to museum access through his support of the involvement of blind and partially sighted professionals and the valuable contribution they bring to the table. In our busy work lives, it's easy to forget these fabulous resources that are there to inspire us. Instead, we think we need to try something different. But we don't need to work that hard, we just need to have a go. We need to play and put our own twist on things. We need to encourage colleagues and audiences to go beyond the literal experience to the imagined one. You don't have to lose the integrity behind the art or the history. This can be incorporated or explored either in different sessions or alongside. We must not be afraid to take risks or make mistakes and involve blind and partially sighted people as equal partners within this process. So what have I done? My background is in performance storytelling and drama. In recent years, I've also been working as a project manager in heritage settings. I understand the importance of combining practical access with interpretation or creative interventions. I enjoy weaving traditional stories and songs into object handling sessions, encouraging others to make their own stories in response. An object can be anything, I try to find stories that I can use to highlight relevant information. Drama and life experience will often find their way into my sessions too. I'm experienced in helping others to develop creative trails and to play. I've been fortunate to work on some great projects. One favourite a few years ago was with Pallant House in Chichester, when I worked with an illustrator providing interactive verbal imaging and interactive story-making sessions in response to a Mervyn Peake exhibition. Oh joy! A room filled with a world of grim fairy tales, all waiting to be explored. One of the pictures was an interpretation of the classic story One Eyes, Two Eyes and Three Eyes. Not only did this present an opportunity to tell the story and encourage any kind of creative response, visual or verbal, but it also encouraged the Hans Frobisher group from Outside In, footnote 3, to think about any disability messages within the exhibition. Some fantastic poetry and creative writing emerged. Another memorable moment was working at the Towner Art Gallery in Eastbourne with audio describer Lonnie Evans, staff and an inclusive group of young people to develop audio descriptions for four pieces from their Eric Revilius collection. Two of the participants were visually impaired, and staff worked collaboratively with each young person to write descriptions that included creative responses. It was important for me that visually impaired young people took part. I knew the descriptive writing would be different, but just as engaging. I was not surprised that one visually impaired person wanted sound to convey a moving train in the background, and this led to a discussion about where the train was going and who was on it. It was an empowering experience for everyone involved. One partially sighted participant said, "Taking part in the Towner's audio description project suddenly made the visual arts accessible to me in a way that I never thought would be possible. It's one thing to have someone you trust patiently describe what they see to the best of their ability, and a much better thing entirely to be able to sit down with an organised, comprehensive description and listen to it as many times as you wish. The Towner Audio Description Project has done so much for my confidence." Talking about my barriers to the visual arts and actively working to overcome them has made me so much more comfortable in artistic environments now. I'm most proud of the work I have done with Lewis Castle. My relationship began several years ago when I was a storyteller in residence. I worked with four local schools and a group of adults with learning difficulties and visual impairments. Amongst other material, I used the story of The Blacksmith and the Tailor with artifact handling. We created our own stories, imagining what it was like to have one of the jobs in the story. This moved on to a bit of forum-style work, imagining what the characters might say and feel using drama improvisations. Each school produced a promenade performance. The children made incredible models of the castle and took the work back to their own sites. On introducing them to our site, I had incorporated an element of verbal imaging and touch. The group worked together to describe their journey around the site from their own experience. I then worked with castle staff to create some story boxes. A few years on, we are now in the middle of a major RNIB project, Sensing Culture, developing character-driven descriptive tours in which historical figures from the past will guide our visitors around the site. Sound artist Joseph Young will create a soundscape to bring the castle to life through story, song, sound reenactment, and interviews. A dedicated group of volunteers have made beautiful objects to go with the stories I selected. Alongside this, we have developed access hours and multisensory activities. Through focus groups, blind and partially sighted people are an active voice in this project, and I'm quite certain that the education team will find ways to encourage all visitors to contribute their own creative response. Key to the success of this project is co-curation and a long-standing relationship. This has built excellent trust between us all. In developing new initiatives, we are able to take risks and try out new things. Weaving historical information creatively into the audio guide has been a learning curve for all, and it has given us room to try something a bit different. I encourage you to let your imaginations run wild. What if we all worked together? Bring it on. Footnotes. 1. www.everyobjecttellsastory.org.uk 2. www.nga.gov. Google search for NGA Every Picture Tells a Story. 3. Founded by Pallant House Gallery, Chichester, in 2006, Outside In provides a platform for artists who see themselves as facing barriers to the art world due to health, disability, social circumstance, or isolation.